Now, on Thursday, we discussed a sugya in Bava Kama, and that was the case where his Ner Chanuk actually damaged someone, which is a fascinating question, whether or not we define a Ner Mitzvah as something that's exempt from damages because the halacha requires you to light the Ner Chanuk. But maybe you remember that I said that I reserve the right to go back to the Braisa of Chanukah. So we're looking at the Braisa on the bottom of Chaf Aleph Amid Beis, which starts with the Tanu Rabbanan. And we discussed the fact that Chanukah lasted, the miracle lasted for 8 days. And it would have seemed, at first glance, that the first night of Chanukah, they had enough shemen for that night. And therefore, there was no miracle on the first night, which reduces us from 8 days of miracle down to 7 days of miracle. In which case, the question arises, we may just have to bring in one more chair. David, we're going to bring in one more chair.
Okay, great.
Okay. So the question arises as to why we celebrate 8 days of Chanukah since the miracle was only 7 days. They had enough oil for 1 day. And if you remember, we discussed the Beis Yosef, Rav Yosef Cairo had a long document, all comfortable here. Let me take this out of your way. Is that a little better? The Beis Yosef had a long discussion about how to work it out that there were 8 days of miracle and not 7 days of miracle. Yeah, he offered the possibility that they put in all the shemen on the first night, but only 1/8 of the shemen was consumed, and therefore even on the first night there was a miracle. He offered another possibility that none of the shemen was consumed on the first night. And that was a great advantage, because if none of the shemen actually was consumed on the first night, then they had shemen zayis from an olive tree. You know, they had from an olive from olives. Is that that's mine? Just 1 second. Let me see. What?
I got a message.
Oh, that's yours. Okay, just want to know if I have to change something here. So again, so if the shemen shall zayas, right, the natural shemen did not burn at all, because zero of it was consumed, then they had the original shemen zayas for all 8 days. So that was the advantage of that approach of the Beis Yosef. And we mentioned that there was another approach in the Beis Yosef. What was the third approach? He remembers that
when they pour the 1/8 of filled.
This was the possibility that they poured the oil, but even before they used up the oil, they only poured, let's say, 1/8 of the oil. Already the oil filled up, and that was another possibility. I'm just trying to remember. There was one other possibility that we had. So again, let's just go over the three possibilities one more time. We have number one, that they divided it up into... that's the one that we... Yeah, so again...
1/8 went down.
Yeah, the possibilities were the following. Either they poured the entire quantity of shemen already on the first night, but only 1/8 was consumed, or they poured the entire quantity of the shemen on the first night and none of the shemen was consumed. The third possibility, this is the one I forgot to mention, is that what they did was they divided up the shemen into 8 different parts, and on each night they only used 1/8 of the shemen. The trouble with that approach is that then you have to assume up front that they knew what?
There was going to be a nes,
because otherwise, how could they expect that 1/8 of the shemen would last for a full night? Okay. And then the last thing that we discussed was the possibility that the shemen had to last for 24 hours. In other words, both Laila and Yom. This seems to be based on the Rambam Shita, that in the Beis HaMikdash, the Mitzvah of the Menorah had two parts to it. It was Erev uBoker. Most of the Rishonim assume that during the Boker, the daylight hours, there was no Ner Dolok in the Mikdash. The only mitzvah that applied during the daylight hours was called Hatovas HaNeros, meaning you have to make sure that the Ner is cleaned out, you know, and you have to put in new oil for the next night. But the Rambam Shitas know that there was a mitzvah of Hadlaka even during the day. So according to this approach, there was enough Shemen to last only for the night.
And the morning. Like
the night, Boker. Right? Boker. And the miracle was even on the first night. It was a miracle that it lasted not only at night but also during the day. Okay, now let's read the Braisa and let's clarify one issue. It says over here in the Braisa that Lishana Acheres Kavum V'Asum Yomim Tovim B'Halel V'Odah. Now, what's Lishana Acheres? What's the indication here? Can anybody suggest something? It wasn't on that first year, correct? Because otherwise, what's Lashon Acheres? Why did they wait a full year to establish the days of Hanukkah? So I want to read to you something here that I found in the name of the Ritva. The Ritva says, Hatam shelo kavu bi'osa shana. Why didn't they establish in that year itself the 8 days of Hanukkah? And he says the following. He says, because on that year itself, lo yodu kamazman yimoshech hanes. This is in contradistinction to the Beis Yosef's first approach, that they only put in 1/8 of the oil on each night, meaning they already anticipated that the nest would last for 8 days. The Ritva is not working with that premise. He's assuming that they really didn't know what would be tomorrow. So they couldn't establish 8 days because they didn't know that the nest would actually happen. But now he quotes a Ben Yehoyada. The Ben Yehoyada was a great rabbi in Iraq. He was the Gaon of Iraq. And he writes a famous sefer called the Ben Ish Chai. Have you heard of it? Yeah. And the Ben Ish Chai is also the author of a commentary on the Gemara, on the Agadah of the Gemara. That's called the Ben Yehoyada. And he writes the following. I'm just going to make a bracha on this because I didn't get a chance to drink anything this morning. So I apologize for that. He's here already. So listen to what the Ben Ish Chai says. This is really very profound. He says that on the first year they had Simcha for 8 days because of the miracle. So every day of the miracle they were celebrating. But he says that they didn't know yet whether or not they would be justified in establishing Hanukkah for all generations as a holiday. Was this miracle great enough to warrant establishing 8 days for all generations? And he says the following. There are two dimensions to a miracle. One dimension is the miracle itself. The other is the day on which the miracle occurred. And herein lies the difference between many miracles that occurred during the course of Jewish history and establishing a yontif. When you establish a day, it means that the nes itself is somehow inherent in the day. It impacts on the day. It changes and transforms the essence of the day. In other words, in Jewish thought, a day has almost a life to it. It's almost has a personality of its own. And you have a day of Chol, which is a regular day, doesn't generate any mitzvahs whatsoever. And then you have a unique day that somehow the very fiber, the very essence of that day as an entity is transformed into something that's very special. It becomes a yontif. It becomes a day that obligates new mitzvahs. So they knew and they recognized the greatness of the Ness, and they celebrated the Ness on that first year. But they didn't yet know whether or not that changed the and transformed the nature of the day. Says the Benish Chai, they were waiting for the next year. Ulashana Abba, and the next year, Ra'u Shahaisa Bashamayim Osa Ha'ora Shal Shmones Yomim. Now, this is a Kabbalistic notion that there are divine lights that emanate from the day itself. And what they were able to perceive was the spiritual unique nature of the days of Hanukkah when they got to the second year. And the first year they only celebrated because of the greatness of the miracle. But they didn't know yet if there was any inherent Ha'ora, a light in these days of the Shmones Yomim. And when they experienced the second year of Hanukkah, then they realized that there was a Ha'ara that came down from Shemayim on these 8 days, that impacted on these 8 days. Ve'hevinu, and they understood Shemit HaShemayim, kavuas hayomim ha'elu lahal v'odaya l'chol adoros. They got the message from Shemayim that there's something inherent in these days, that these days are special days that have to be established for halal v'odaya for all generations. And he says that now we read the Braisa. The Braisa says, Lashon Acheres Kavum Ve'asa'um Liyomim Tovim. What's the double language? Kavum and Asa'um. So he says that Kavum refers to the Bezdin Shalmala, that up in Shemayim they will kovea these days. And Asum refers to the Bezdin Shalmata, that now we knew that it wasn't just a miracle that happened for those 8 days, but that miracle transformed the nature of these days. So again, I don't know if you're able to understand this. I mean, I can only understand it on my level. I have a very limited understanding. These are very, shall I say, esoteric and metaphysical concepts, but it's very interesting. Now he quotes the Avnei Nezer. You know, the Sukkot Shom Rebbe had a very unique approach to Lashana Acheres. Now, in order to appreciate the Avnei Nezer, we're going to read the Rambam. So let me put this Gemara on the side here if I can. I don't know if we have a Rambam here. Mitch usually brings a Rambam to Shia, but he's not here today. You have a Rambam? Thank you so much. This is Harvey's Rambam. Hopefully he'll need it tomorrow. So the Rambam quotes this Braisa that we have, but he embellishes it with a number of additions. First of all, you'll notice that in the Braisa itself, it starts by saying, Bechof Hei Bekislev, correct? It doesn't give you a historical background or a period of time. The Rambam opens up Hilchos Chanukah by saying, Bibayasheni. It's very important from the Rambam's perspective that we recognize that these miracles took place when? During the period of Bayasheni. You get the impression from the Rambam that if you would mistakenly think that this took place during Bayas Rishon, you would be missing a very important part of the mitzvah of Chanukah. I don't know why. I'm just telling you what it says here in the Rambam. Then the Rambam goes on to say that Kishemalche Yavon Gazu Gzeris al Yisrael. So he goes back to the fact that the kings of the Greeks introduced enactments against Yisrael, Ubitlu Dasam, to try to undermine our religion. Veloi Nichu Osam, they didn't let the Jewish people lasok b'Torah uva mitzvah. So they had a two-pronged attack. Number one against Torah, the study of Torah. Number two, against the fulfillment of mitzvahs. But it goes beyond that. He says, Upashtu yadam b'mamonam, and they confiscated the possessions of the Jewish people. Ubibnoseyem, and they attacked the Jewish girls. We'll see about that. And then, v'nichnesu leheichal. They went into the Kodesh, the special part of the Migdash. What do they call it in English, the Heichal? Anybody remember the English translation?
Holy of Holies, sanctuary.
The sanctuary, okay, we'll call it the sanctuary. Upartzu bo pratzos v'timu ataros, v'tsar lahem liYisrael ma'od. It was a real oppression of the Jewish people. V'lachatzum, and they pressured the Jewish people, lachatz gadol, ad sherichem aleim elokei avoseinu, v'hoshiem miyodom, v'itzilom, v'gavru bnei achashmonai akonim agdolim, v'hargum, Vehoshiu Yisrael miyadam veemidu melech min hamalachim min hakohanim vechazra malchus Yisrael yeser al masayim shanim ad churban bayisheni. So Rav Osai, from the opening phrase of the Rambam, Bayisheni, and the time of the Xeris of Yavon, until the Churban of Bayisheni, was how long of a period of time? Again, I'll read it again, because I guess you didn't hear it. He says, from the time that they established the Malchus, after Hashem was Moshiach them, is, he says, Yeser al Masayim Shanim, Ad Churba Bayisheni. So from the time of the Malchus of the Chashmonaim until the destruction of the Mikdash was how much? With 2 centuries and change. Isn't that amazing that the Rambam wants to tell us that the Malchus of the Chashmonaim lasted for another 2 centuries? Why is this significant? Let's go on. The Rambam goes on to say that Kishigavu Yisrael Aleveyem, when they overcame their enemies, the Avodum, and they destroyed them, B'chofei B'chodesh Kislev, it was the 25th of Kislev. V'nichnesu l'echav lo matzu shemen tar b'migdash el pach echad, v'lo hoyebo lahadlik el yom echad bilvad, v'dliku mimenu neros hamarocha shmones yomim. So how long did they get out of this one pach of shemen that could have lasted naturally for only one day? Shmonas yomim. And he calls it neros, he doesn't call it neros hamenorah, he has a different term for it. He calls it neros hamarocha. 8 days, achekachu, until they crushed zesim olives, votziu, and they produced shemen tar. So it took them 8 days to replace the shemen with new shemen, newly produced shemen. And then he says, "Umipnei zeh hidliku chachamim shebaoso hadar." Now listen to this. The Rambam doesn't have the phrase lashon acheret. So again, there are many changes that the Rambam made on this brisa. First of all, he gives us the whole history of the xeros of Malchus Yavon, a whole historical background in great detail. He tells you exactly when it took place in Bayisheni. He tells you exactly how long the Bayis stood from the time. He says that they established a Malchus B'Yisrael that lasted, you know, political independence of the Jews in Eretz Yisrael for 2 centuries and change. And that was established by which Malchus? The Chashmonaim. And not only that, he says that they found that after the Yevonim were metame all the Shmonim, they found one pach of shemen, which miraculously lasted for 8 days. So whereas the Brisa that we're studying now, my Chanukah, completely omits mention of the Yevonim, of Bayisheni, of the whole history, the Bittul Dasam, what they were trying to do and undermine, the Brisa takes a beeline straight ahead to the miracle of the Ner Chanukah. The Rambam leaves the miracle of the Ner Chanukah to the end. And it almost sounds like the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is going to be almost a secondary kind of mitzvah. Because look what the Rambam establishes. He says, Mipnei Zeh, and I don't know what the word Mipnei Zeh refers to. Does it refer to the fact that Chazra Malchus Yisrael, that we became free of the political control of the Yevanim, and we established our own independent political control of the land? Or does Mipnei Zeh refer to the lighting of the menorah? The fact that the Pach Shemen lasted for 8 days miraculously. So let's read the next part of Ibn Zed. Let's see if we can get a sense of what the Rambam might be referring to. Ibn Zed, Hiskidu Chachamim Sheba Oso Adar. So again, it doesn't sound like it was that year, but he doesn't tell you which dar. Some Chachamim in some undefined generation got up and they established that they should have these 8 days, beginning with the 25th of Kislev. Yemei. Now, if I would cover the next two words, what do you think the Rambam is going to say about these 8 days? These are days of what? Let's say you had to choose a mitzvah. I'll give you 3 choices. You have the mitzvah of Hallel, you have the mitzvah of Hodoyah, and the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Which would be your choice? Ner Chanukah, no? So I would have thought that the next two words in the Rambam would be Yemei Hadlokas Neros. No. He says Yemei Simcha V'Halel. Now this is a Pella, first of all. Where do we find Simcha with regard to Chanukah? You won't find it anywhere. Only in this Rambam. Simcha belongs specifically to Purim and not to Hanukkah. And there's no Simcha on Hanukkah, because Simcha means that there's a Chiyuv Seuda, you have to establish a special meal. But the Rambam introduces a whole new element here of Simcha. And he has Hallel. But right now he doesn't mention anything about Neros. Now, if he doesn't mention anything about Neros, and he's talking about Hallel, then let's go back to our original question. What's the Zeh? Is he referring to the great salvation of the Jewish people from the Avonim and the establishment of a political entity called the Land of Israel, which was now established by the Malchus of Chanukah? Or is he referring to the Nes of the Pach Shemen? What does it sound like? Anybody want to take a stab at it? For the fact that he completely omits Ner Chanukah, it sounds like he's referring to the military victory. Which means that the Rambam radically departs from the Braisa. The Braisa doesn't even mention the military victory. The Braisa puts all its emphasis on the Nes of the Pach HaShemen, and the fact that the Shemen would only last for one day, and it lasted for 8 days, and then they established the 8 days of Hadlokas Neros. The Rambam doesn't even mention Hadlokas Neros. We'll see later on, almost as an afterthought, the Rambam is going to mention Hadlokas Neros, but at this point he's mentioning Simcha and Hallel. And this is after he presented in great detail the whole history here of this period of Bayis Sheni, when Malchus Yavon Gazru Gzeros Al Yisrael Bitlu Dosam and Tsarlahem, and the Tsaros were very intense, and Hoshea Makadosh Baruch Hu was Moshea them. So the Avnei Nezer says something unbelievable. He says that as long as the Mikdash stood after the Nes, there was no mitzvah of Hadlokas Ner Chanukah. How long of a period of time from the original Nes until they codified, if you could use that phrase, the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah according to this approach? 200 years. Isn't that amazing? I mean, it sounds like apikursis almost to say such a thing. That for two centuries there was no mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. And why is that? Because the Mikdash stood. So the Avnei Nezer asks the following question. Okay, the Mikdash is standing, but you have to commemorate the miracle. Why is there no mitzvah of Hadlokas Ner until after the Mikdash was destroyed? Okay, this I certainly have to fix this. You know, it's a problem because I'm trying to Skype and at the same time. So, okay.
So we confirmed from Rambam that the observance of Hanukkah for 200 years was only Hodah and Hallel, and then after that,
the third element was added to the equation. So we have three elements in the equation of Hanukkah, two of which were established by the Chachamim as a result of the great salvation from the Yevanim. The third was established for the mitzvah of commemorating the great miracle that took place in the menorah with the Shemen, the Pach HaShemen. But that third element was only introduced, according to this thesis of the Avnei Nezer, after the Mikdash was destroyed.
Well, instead of lighting the menorah, the base of Mikdash, that was the...
Okay, excellent, Jerry. Yeah, what did you want to say, Ruven?
No, just
Jerry's trying to answer why for two centuries did they postpone the establishment according to this approach of Hanukkah in terms of Ner Hanukkah. You know, as they had Hal Vodoya, but not Ner Hanukkah. That's what he's addressing. But Ruven, you want to raise a different question?
Yeah, no, to see how the Braisa and the Rambam go together. So from the Braisa also that next year it was, we also say it was established this Hodai and Hallel and by the Rambam sometime in that followed that was established, and again the Braisa would also say that we can also infer from there that perhaps the same thing that
maybe when the Braisa says Lashon Acheres,
right,
Kavum, maybe that's a reference to Ner Chanukah, and Lashon Acheres, the way the Rambam interprets it, is 200 years later. Because you might read Lashon Acher says 1 year later, and that's so how the Ritva understood it. They waited just 1 year, and the Ben Ish Chai says they waited to see the Ha'arav in a Shemayim a year later on these days. The Rambam is saying, according to this interpretation, Lashon Acher means after the Mikdash would fall, and that would be 200 years later.
Lashon Acher is not really next year, it's sometime.
Acher means another year. It doesn't mean next year, it means another year. And another year means it has to wait until a certain year. Now, which year is it going to be? At what point did the Chachamim say, finally, this is the Shana Acheres that we've been waiting for? And the oddity is the year of Korban Habayis. So at what point did Ner Chanukah as a mitzvah, according to the Rambam, emerge as a mitzvah? At the point of Korban Habayis. But for 2 centuries before, they were celebrating Chanukah, as you may, Simcha V'odah.
I mean, I think what Jerry might have been saying, the fact that we were able to light the menorah, that's already nice. We could have lost everything. Is that what you were implying?
That maybe the menorah was a vicarious, how should I say, fulfillment of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. But Rabosai, who remembers here? I'm just testing you. I asked about a week ago the question as to why you're not allowed to benefit from the Ner Chanukah. Right? Haneros halolu kodeshem, v'eilon rishus l'shtamesh bahem. What generates the Kedusha to the Ner Chan? Does anybody remember the answer to that question we offered in the name of the Baal Amar and other Rishonim? You see, you got to review what we learned together. It's not enough that you hear this shit. The Baal Amar. Excellent. Reuven, say it out loud. To make me a happy man. that Ner Chanuk is what? Zecher?
Lemigdash.
Zeichel Migdash. Where else do we find Zeichel Migdash? Give me an example. The lulav on 7 days. On the first day it's no raisa, but and that's even a gvulin. But the lulav called Shiva is based on the takana of Yochanan Zakkai Mishum Zeichel Migdash. Now, could you imagine, Rabosai? This is just a rhetorical question. An obviously ridiculous question. Could you imagine Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai establishing a mitzvah of taking the lulav for 7 days while the Mikdash is standing? Why is that ridiculous, Rabbi Yochanan
Zakkai? Why do you say that?
Because that's not a zecher. Zecher means to remember the Mikdash. The Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Nun Beis, derives from Pasuk. It says, Tzion Doresh Einlo, that the Navi is becrying, bemoaning the fact that nobody is Doresh Tzion, they don't remember Tzion anymore, meaning the Mikdash is already forgotten. So the Gemara says, Michlal, what do we derive from this admonishment? We derive that Boy Drisha, that we have to be Doresh Tzion, we have to remember the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, how do we remember the Beis HaMikdash? Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says that we take the lulav for 7 days to remember the Beis HaMikdash. We have another example of Zeichel HaMikdash. Perhaps Korach according to Hillel. I mean, that depends on how they fulfill the mitzvah of the Beis HaMikdash of Al Matzos, Umorim, Yochlu. But I have a better example for you, Jerry. I'll give you a hint. 7 weeks. What am I referring to? Which 7 weeks? Of the Omer. The Gemara says that the Omer depends upon the Mikdash because they had to bring the Korban Omer. And from the day that they brought the Omer, they counted 7 weeks. We don't have the Omer. So why do we count the Omer today? Zeichel HaMikdash. We sort of like duplicate what went on in the Mikdash. And the Baal Amar apparently understood that the Ner Chanukah is to duplicate what went on in the Mikdash. To such an extent that the Ramban says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to be Menachem Aaron and his Shevet, because they didn't take part in the Chanukas HaMizbeach, the Nesiim took over the show, and Aaron was very downtrodden about it. Why don't we get to bring these Karbanos? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, I have something better for you in store. The Karbanos depend upon the Beis HaMikdash. When the Mikdash falls, there's no Karbanos. Your mitzvah of lighting the menorah is going to continue even after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. So the Ramban says, what do you mean? If there's no Mikdash, there's no menorah. If there's no menorah, there's no mitzvah to light the menorah. Why is it any better than Karbanos, which depend upon the Mikdash? So the Ramban says that the remez here in Chazal is to the Neros Chanukah. Now, what is that? We're trying to understand Baloschas Aneros. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Aaron the mitzvah d'oraisa of lighting the menorah Mikdash, and he says to him, well, there's going to be Neros Chanukah. The answer is that Neros Chanukah is a duplicate, so to speak. It's an extension of the original Ner in the menorah. And the Pella is that the Ravid says that the bracha that we make on Ner Chanukah of Lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah, the normal rule is that on a mitzvah d'rabbanan we make a bracha al For example, what mitzvah derabbanan can we think of that has a bracha al asher that we spoke about this morning? Mikra Megillah, right? So Mikra Megillah, Asher Kitshanu, so Sivanu al Mikra Megillah. But in the case of Chanukah, it's lahadlik ner Chanukah. Says the Ravid, the reason why we make the bracha lahadlik ner Chanukah is because we treat ner Chanukah as if we were a mitzvah d'oraisa because of zeicha l'migdash. In other words, it's almost as if we are lighting the menorah as they did in the Mikdash. When they lit the menorah in the Mikdash, what bracha did they use? Allah lit. Lit, because it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. So they maintain the same bracha even after Churban. So it comes along the Avodah Zarah, and he says, well, it's impossible that they establish Ner Chanukah as a Zeichel of Mikdash if the Mikdash is still standing. So it must be that they waited two centuries until they established. So the Lashon HaCheres, which doesn't mean next year, but rather another year, means the Chachamim of the Dor of the Churban, they established the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. So what was the original establishment of Chanukah, the days of Chanukah, before the Mikdash was destroyed, during that two centuries? That was Hallel and Simcha. So we have now an unbelievable distinction here between two elements in Chanukah. There's one element in Chanukah which is Hallel Vodah, and that element of Hallel Vodah might be irrelevant, according to the Rambam, to the nest that took place with the Pach HaShemen, because the great Nitzachon that Hashem saved us from the Yevanim, that itself justifies and warrants Yomim Tovim Be'er Hallel Vodah. What the Rambam has instead of Hodah, the Rambam has the word Simcha, B'Simcha U'B'Hallel. And then as far as the nest that took place and the Pach HaShemen, that means we should remember the menorah, because the nest took place in the menorah. As long as the menorah stood and was functioning, meaning the Beis HaMikdash was alive and well for two centuries after the nest, there was no Zeicha LeMikdash. The Zeicha LeMikdash would only emerge after the destruction of the Mikdash. It's a fascinating way of learning the Rambam.
Can I just ask a question? Yeah. There was enough Pach HaShemen.
What is your name, by the way? You look so familiar.
Alan Lurie.
Wow. Alan Lurie. I think we met once. I'm not sure. But anyway, you look familiar.
There was enough Pach HaShemen to light one ner or to light the menorah.
Well, the word ner in the Gemara, now, I mean, we use the word ner in a whole different context, but ner, the word ner, etymologically, in the Gemara's language, means the receptacle into which they poured Shemen.
Right.
So they had enough shemen to light one ner. Let's say, for example, let's assume that the volume of shemen, the minimum volume, is a chatzi lug. Okay, that's the discussion. Yeah. So that means you have to multiply a chatzi lug times 7. So you get 3.5 lugim. So that's what they found in this Pach HaShemen that was shemen tar. They had 3.5 lugim of shemen. That would be enough to light the menorah. Oh, no. So now I made a mistake. Sorry. What they found in the Pach HaShemen would be... three and a half lugim. I got it right. Right, because you multiply a half a lug by 7 and you get 3.5. Am I right? Check out the math for me. Don't rely on my mathematical calculations. So that's what they had. So they had enough in the Shemen to last for one light, for one night, to light the menorah for 7 days. And miraculously, that kamus, that volume of shemen of 3.5 lugim, lasted for 7 times 7, meaning for seven lightings for the full 8 days. So it would be 8 times 7, correct? 8 times 7, and that was the miracle. Go ahead. Now we ask you a question. Now that I have it down. Yeah.
So, in reality, they did light 7 candles from that one lug.
So they had 3.5 lugim that would last for one night.
One night, which was 7 candles.
Right. Again, I don't know what you mean by candles, but yeah, okay, we'll call it candles.
7 lights.
I just want to leave out the word candles, because once you use the word candles, you get very confused. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, 7 wicks.
Right. 7 wicks gave 7 shalhavot. The shalhavot is the ikar mitzvah, and that would last for the full 7 days. For all 7 shalavot, for all 7 flames. That's what they had. That's the amount of shemen they had. 3.5 lugim of shemen. Now, al piderach hateva, when they get to the second night, there's no oil left. And they needed oil to last for another 7 days. Why? Because the Rambam says that in order to go through the whole process of producing oil, it would take them another 7 days. They have to go through the process of gathering together the olives, making sure they're tar, and then crushing the olives, until they finally would produce shemen tar. Just a minute, David. That would take another 7 days. So the miracle was that the amount of oil that should have lasted only for 1 day lasted for a full 8 days, an extra 7 days. Okay, so far so good. Now the question becomes, so what was Chanukah? Was Chanukah to commemorate that miracle? That's certainly what is indicated in the Brice of my Chanukah. The Brice of my Chanukah doesn't mention anything about the Nitzachon, just in passing, but then it gets to the main thrust. And the Rambam shifts our entire emphasis from the great miracle in the net in the menorah over to the Nitzachon. David?
Well, I'm confused. Were they lighting the menorah like we light one light per night, and then they add a second night?
Seven per night. Okay, then? Now.
When was this price written?
I don't know. For that, you have to go to Dr. G, Dr. Google. Okay.
May I ask you a question?
Yes, please.
How do we know, where do we learn that we have to light at night?
You mean in the Mikdash? Or
today.
Okay, so that's going to be the subject of my shiur at 11:45, but if you can't make it, you know, I'll just give you the gist of it. The Gemara operates with a principle called Shraga Batira Maimahani. For that, we're going to have an hour and a half discussion what that means. So that basically means that the Torah doesn't recognize light during the day, meaning light that's created by man. Because since there's light, natural light,
all right. That's a lead into my real question.
Oh, okay. So maybe I can get to your real question.
If they came on the 25th to find the oil in the Beis Hamikdash, then you light at night, it should be the 26th.
Right. Were you here on Thursday when we discussed this question? So on Thursday we had a long discussion about this.
Sorry.
So maybe I'll leave that for after the shiur if you have time. Sorry. What I do want to know is the following. The Rambam combines the laws of Megillah with the laws of Chanukah in one section. And since Megillah comes before Chanukah, so we can start Perek Aleph called Hilchos Megillah and Chanukah. If you would assume, okay, if you would assume a parallel between the way the Rambam begins Hilchos Chanukah, which is Perek Gimel, and the way the Rambam should, in our anticipation, begin Hilchos Megillah in Perek Aleph, what do you expect to be in the Rambam?
Context.
Exactly. And guess what? Okay. Zero. There's no historical context whatsoever. The Rambam starts Hilchos Megillah and he writes, Kriyas HaMegillah Bizmana, Mitzvas Asei Midivrei Sofrim, and that's it. Not one word about the history. So my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik was very bothered by this. Here's the question. Why is it that the Rambam in Hilchos Chanukah, which is Perek Gimel of Hilchos Megillah, begins with an entire background, telling you the whole story in great detail? In Hilchos Megillah, the Rambam jumps right to the Kishkes. Kriyas HaMegillah Bizmana Mitzvos Asei Midivrei Sofrim, telling you nothing, omitting any mention about the miracle.
You don't need it. You have the Megillah.
So in order to appreciate this, Rav Soloveitchik would go back and read the Rambam's introduction to his Mishneh Torah. Now let me just give you a little historical background here. When the Rambam published his Mishneh Torah, it was a very revolutionary thing to do. Because the Rambam in his introduction writes, okay, you're ready for this one, hold on to your chairs, that all you have to do is learn the Tanakh, and then after you finish Tanakh, just jump over to my Mishneh Torah. And this created a tremendous controversy, because the Rambam was basically saying that you could skip over all of Shas and just zoom in straight to his Mishneh Torah. Imagine, the Rambam had, if you pardon the phrase, the audacity to completely obviate the need to learn Shas. This created a tremendous controversy, and once again, if you want to discuss this and understand the Rambam, you'll have to come back for another discussion. So now, the Rambam has the following problem. He's got two mitzvahs derabbanan, Megillah and Chanukah, both of which have one common denominator. They're both rabbanim, but in terms of the essence of the mitzvah, the kiyum mitzvah, they have one common denominator. What's the goal of reading the Megillah, and what's the goal of lighting Chanukah?
Pirsumanes,
correct? So the Rav said that the Ram had a problem. Can you publicize a Nes if you don't know anything about the Nes? And the obvious answer is absolutely not. Here's a mitzvah which is not just what we call a Maisa mitzvah, some sort of external mechanical act, but here's a mitzvah that requires a mental awareness, a state of understanding, because otherwise you can't be mekayim the mitzvah pirsum hanes. And here's where the Rambam had a problem. Because the Rambam tells you that all you have to do is go straight from Tanakh, straight to the Rambam of Mishneh Torah, and the Mishneh Torah is going to tell you exactly how you live your life as a Jew. And the Rambam has a problem, because you don't know beans about pirsum hanes. How could I tell you to read the Megillah? How could I tell you to light the Ner Chanukah when the essence of the mitzvah and its goal is pirsum hanes? You don't know anything about the Nes. Unless you do know something about the Nes. Why do you know something about the Nes? Because you read the Tanakh. So the Rambam says, Bishleim, I understand that you could skip over all of the Shas as far as Megillah is concerned. There are 10 block Gemara in Masechta Megillah that answer the question, what was the miracle of Megillah? And it's all a very long, complicated Agadata. Each Mandi Omer starts darshaning from a one particular pasuk that he thinks is the key to unlock the mystery of Megillah, of Purim. So you've skipped over all that, because the Rambam says you're going straight with the beeline right into Hilcha, into the Mishneh Torah. The Rambam has no problem with that, because you read Megillah Esther. And if you read Megillah Esther, you could be Mefarsim in the Nes. But when he gets to Chanukah, he has a problem. If he would start Chanukah by saying that from the 25th day, for 8 days, you're chayvin Hallel, you're chayvin Simcha, and you light Ner Chanukah because we're after the Churban HaBayis, then we would be forfeiting, from the Rambam's perspective, the mitzvah of Pirsum HaNes. The Rambam was in a no-win situation. He could not allow you to fulfill his purpose in writing the Mishneh Torah without giving us the background to Chanukah. Because if he doesn't give us the background to Chanukah, who will? You're going to read Megillas Antiochus? Where are you going to get your history? You're going to read, what's the guy's name, Steinberg, whatever his name was, My Glorious Brothers? I'm just kidding. It was a bestseller when I was a kid. How do you begin to understand the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah if all you know until you get to the Rambam is Tanakh? There's nothing in Tanakh that's going to give you a clue about Chanukah. Therefore, the Rambam had no choice. He was compelled to give us the background to Chanukah. Now, Reuven, just give me one more sentence so I don't forget. Open up for me a siddur which has Al HaNisim to it. Correct? You know, with the line down the middle? Yeah. What do you notice? As soon as you open up the page to Al HaNisim, without even reading it. No. You're already reading it, Reuven. You're a step ahead of me. I'm asking you not to read Al HaNisim. Correct. In Purim, it's like 3-4 lines. That's it. I'm exaggerating, but it's very short. In the case of Chanukah, it's like humongous. And the answer is, that's the same reason that we have here. Chazal looked for every way possible to give you a background to Chanukah, because they knew there was nothing in Tanakh. And last time you read Megillas Antiochus was many, many years ago. I'm just exaggerating. And the answer is, the Al HaNisim now becomes a vehicle to give you a grasp on what this Pirsumei Nis is all about.
You know, so you mentioned Megillas Antiochus, that was not accepted.
Right. I'm just saying that there's nothing, there's really nothing. There's nothing accessible. We need the sources in what we call Torah Shebaal Peh. So the Brisa is a source of Torah Shebaal Peh. The Rambam has other sources in Torah Shebaal Peh. And all these sources, when they're woven together into one whole, will give you a Pirsum HaNes when it comes to Chanukah. So for example, from the Rambam's perspective, the Pirsum HaNes of Chanukah might come under two different categories. First of all, publicize the Nes of the abolishment of all those terrible gzeros, and replacing that abolishment of the Yevanim, we have the establishment of Malchus Yisrael. And by the way, for those of you here who celebrate Yom HaTzma'ut, I don't know, by Shom fans, how many people? Not too many. Oh, that's a little better. Okay, good. Now I'm excited. Because if you ask me for a source for Yom HaTzma'ut...
How do you celebrate? What do you say?
Not?
depends how you celebrate Yom HaTzmaut.
No, I'm saying that you commemorate it as a special day. I wasn't going into details, but if Yom HaTzmaut is a very important religious holiday for you, again, everybody has their own way of expressing, you know, the many different shittas about Hallel, yes, Hallel, not Hallel, whatever it is, but if you agree with me about one fundamental principle, that Yom HaTzmaut is an important day on the Jewish calendar, then the basis for that in Chazal is this Rambam, in my humble opinion. That the Rambam says that the essence of Hanukkah is that we establish political independence. He's not talking about Frumkeit here. He's not telling you what the level of observance of Torah Mitzvot was at the time of the Chashmonaim. And by the way, I don't want to get into detail because Bayesheni is a very depressing historical period of time. I mean, we think we're excited because the Bayes stood, but we had some serious problems. I mean, the most popular movement in that day was not called the Reform Movement, it was called the Tzdukim. And the Tzdukim had an amazing amount of power and authority at the time of Bayesheni. To such an extent, the Mishnah says at the beginning of Yoma that they had to make take a shvuah that the Kohen Gadol was not going to do the avod like the Tzdukim. That means that every single Kohen Gadol at the time based on Migdash Sheni was suspect of being a Tzduki, Rabbosai. Do you know what that means? And I can go on and on about this. That's why the Rambam starts Hilchos Chanukah with Bayis Sheni. It's so critical that we understand that Bayis Sheni was a very dark chapter in Jewish history. And the light, the divine light of that chapter, of that very dark chapter in Jewish history, was the humble Ner Chanukah. And the Rambam wants you to understand and appreciate what Ner Chanukah is all about, but only if you have an appreciation of what Bayis Sheni is all about, and especially the darkest period of Bayis Sheni is that of the Yevanim. So now we have the following. The Rambam has one aspect of Ner Chanukah, which is undermining the Yevanim, completely destroying the Yevanim as far as political independence is concerned. The Chashmonaim are going to become the Malachim, the kings of Israel, for 2 centuries. That itself is Chanukah. And that's days of Simcha and Hallel. Then the Rambam says there's another dimension to Purim, and that's remembering the Beis HaMikdash. That's going to emerge 2 centuries later in history. But in any event, no matter how you slice the cake, if you want to be Mekayim Pirsum HaNes, you've got to know what incarnation are you saying Hallel about. It's a day of Simcha, so why are you B'Simcha? State in Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam says I have to be B'Simcha. That's not enough. You have to know why you're B'Simcha. You're reciting Hallel. You have to understand and appreciate why you're reciting Hallel. So the Rambam found himself in a no-win situation. He's compelled to give us the background into Chanukah. All of a sudden, the Rambam wears another hat on his head. He becomes a historian. The Rambam is not a historian. There's no history in the 14 books of the Mishnah Torah, except for this one on Chanukah. And the reason why the Rambam is so compelled to wear the hat of a historian is because otherwise, if he's told you that you skip from Tanakh over to the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, how could you possibly fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah without the history? But in the case of Purim, it's a whole other story.
Is Simcha still a tzivui in Chanukah now?
So wait a second. So let's talk about the concept of Simcha in Chanukah. So for this Rabbosai, we have to understand the Levush. The Levush lived 5 centuries ago. His name was Rav Mordechai Yaffa, and he wrote a Shulchan Aruch at the same time that the Mechaber, Rav Yosef Cairo, wrote his Shulchan Aruch. The difference is that Rav Yosef Cairo got to publish his Shulchan Aruch first, and that became very popular. The Levush never didn't rate. You know, by then, you know, it was not so it wasn't so popular. So Levush asks the following question. I'll read it to you. I have a little bit of a summary. The Levush says that what's the fundamental difference between Chanukah and Purim? Why do we find in Purim so much outward expression of jovial happiness and seudos? And Chanukah, okay, today maybe it's a little different. We eat Tzufganiyot, and that's a reason to be B'Simcha. But other than that, you know, Chanukah is really a kind of a low-key holiday compared to Purim. Says the Levush, there's a fundamental difference between Purim and Chanukah. Purim is about the physical body and the salvation thereof. The Gezerah was Larog, Lahashmid, Le'Abed, etc., etc. And therefore the celebration, says Levush, of Purim is physical. Masha'enken, in contrast, Chanukah is all about spirituality. It's because of Zeros, and they said anyone who teaches Torah publicly will be put to death. And they were attacking our concept of Kiddush, of holiness and spirituality. They had zero tolerance for our Torah mitzvahs. Therefore, he says, the Ner, which typifies the character of the celebration, and then certainly the tefillah of Alanisim and Hallel, all this is a spiritual celebration. And therefore the physical body plays almost no role whatsoever in Hanukkah, other than the fact that I need my body in order to recite Hallel or to light the candles. This is the famous Levush. Have you heard of it? You probably have heard this a million times, you just didn't know it was coming from the Levush. So that's irrelevant. Now let's open the Rambam. The Rambam in both Hilchas Chanukah and Hilchas Megillah says that they established these days as days of Simcha. Simcha, from the Levush's perspective, is very appropriate for Purim, but it's totally out of place for Chanukah, because the concept of Simcha always indicates in Halacha a physical, outward expression of this mitzvah. This mitzvah of Simcha is always fulfilled with Seuda, with Bas V'Yayin, and so forth and so on. In fact, you should know that many poskim write that on Purim, you have to drink wine and you have to eat meat. Now, I'm not telling you you have to do that, but I'm just telling you that it is da zazach, you know, such a sheet in the poskim you'll find, that it's not enough just to eat chicken or fish or whatever you like, but you have to actually eat meat. And some people on Purim will, you know, they'll have a whiskey or a pina colada, whatever they like, but they won't drink wine. And some poskim say you have to drink wine. That's the ultimate simcha, ein simcha el b'bas v'yayin. Chanukah, who heard about bas v'yayin on Chanukah? That's the Levush. But the Rambam says that there's a mitzvah of simcha on Chanukah. And the Rambam, when he codifies Hilchas Chanukah, he writes, yesh laharbos b'se'udah. He has something called, like it's a kiyum, it enhances your mitzvah of Chanukah if you have ribui se'udah. That's the Rambam. And I would submit to you that according to the Rambam, it's not just if you want to embellish your mitzvah of Chanukah, you have ribui se'udah. But the Rambam has simcha as an essential element in defining the day. The day becomes a day of simcha. But why? After all, the Levush is right. The entire celebration, the entire miracle of Chanukah is all about das and shmiras mitzvahs and eisek hatorah. It's all spirituality. Why goof? So listen to the Rambam that we read before, but maybe we didn't pay attention. After the Rambam tells you that Malchei Yavon gazru gzeres al Yisrael ubitlu dasam v'lo enicham lasok b'torah v'mitzvahs, then listen to the next line in the Rambam. Upashtu yadam b'mamonam u'bivnoseyam. Now the Rambam is talking about another dimension of the gzeros of the Yevanim, a very physical dimension, in which they confiscated our possessions, in which they attacked and victimized our girls. The Gemara says in Ksubas that at the time of the Yevanim, that's the way the Rishonim understood the Gemara, the hegemon, who was the head of that particular province. And it's hard for me to go into detail here, but he made a gzera that tiboyle hegmon tchila, a woman that was getting married first, she would have to have be'ilu with the hegmon, and the whole takana of yom revi that she should get married in yom revi was all a way of trying to fake the hegmon out, that he wouldn't know, and then once she had marriage, then he would drop the thing. All this is a physical dimension of Chanukah that we're not aware of, and therefore the Rama wants to put this up front. He wants to tell you that Chanukah is not only about Bitul Dasam and Eisek HaTorah and Mitzvahs, but it's also about Mamonam and Bidoseyam. So in that sense, the Rambam has a very physical element in the issue of Chanukah, that we were saved from the physical attack of the Yevanim. And if that be the case, the Rambam is very well justified in adding what into the equation of the celebration?
Simcha.
Simcha. And here I think the Rambam, who's 3 centuries before the Levush, he's parting ways from the Levush. Now, why does the Rambam emphasize Vitzar Lahem LiYisrael Ma'ot? That phrase in the Rambam seems to be superfluous and unnecessary. I mean, the Rambam has already detailed all the attacks, you know, all the gzeros of the Yevanim. I mean, not only that, in the next line he says V'lachatzu lachatz gadol. So, what's Vitzar Lahem LiYisrael, and what's the emphasis on the word Yisrael here? So, Rabosai, for this we have to know a little bit about milchama. Milchama in Jewish law can be broken down into two fundamentally different categories. Does anybody know what they are?
Milchamet
mitzvah. Milchamet reshut. What defines a milchamet mitzvah? So number one, it's kibush Eretz Yisrael. And there are very technical rules here, because if, let's say, before kibush Eretz Yisrael, which means before we through the military campaign, we take over all the bounds of Eretz, so if we were to send out troops to go north, let's say, which is what David HaMelech did at the time of Aram Tzova, that already becomes a Milchemes Rishus. Because Milchemes Mitzvah only kicks in after we fulfill the mitzvah of Kibush Eretz Yisrael. That's a classical case of Milchemes Mitzvah. There's another classical case of Milchemes Mitzvah. That's to do with Purim. That's nothing to do with Hanukkah. What's that called? Milchemes starts with an ayin, ends with a kuf. Has a mem and a lamed in the middle? No? No good. Amol. Milchemes Amol. I don't know, you don't take my hints. Okay. I thought I was pretty outspoken about it. Okay. But then, the Gemara has a third category of Milchemes Mitzvah. Al Tzar Lahem Li Yisrael. That if the nations of the world are oppressing the Jewish people, that's called a war of mitzvah. And there's no doubt that the Rambam is paraphrasing that phrase and teaching us that the Milchama of the Chashmonaim was not an optional mitzvah. It was an obligatory mitzvah. Had the status of a Milchemes Mitzvah. And there's no coincidence in the fact that the Rambam uses the exact same phrase, Tzar Lahem Li Yisrael, that Chazal used to define a Milchemes Mitzvah here in this context.
So why doesn't he call his spade a spade? Why is he not saying it?
That's a good question. I guess he's relying on us to understand that I'm going to tell you why it's a Milchemes Mitzvah. Meaning, instead of telling you just that, you know, take me on face value with Amunas Chachomim and have blind faith that it is a Milchemes Mitzvah, I'm going to tell you why it's a Milchemes Mitzvah. Once you understand the reason why it's a Milchemes Mitzvah, you automatically, when you put together the Rambam here with the Rambam Hilchos Sanhedrin, where he defines Milchemes Mitzvah, you'll understand that it's a Milchemes Mitzvah.
If the war is a Milchemes Mitzvah, why does he need to be the same?
No. I'm not saying that, Rabosai, that this Tzar Lahem Li Yisrael is based on all the elements that came above. I'm not trying to tell you that had the Rambam omitted Upashti Yadayim V'mamonim V'nosayim, it would not be Tzar Lahem Li Yisrael. The Rambam first sets up all the expressions and dimensions of the Gzeros of the Yifonim, all the attacks of our adversaries, and then he makes a general comment that's true for everything that he said above, that Tzar Lahem Li Yisrael, and therefore, when the Chashmonaim fought this battle, don't think for a minute that they were fighting some sort of optional battle. This was a classical Milchemes Mitzvah. And then the Rambam says something amazing. V'gavru bnei ha-chashmonoim ha-kohanim ha-gedolim. He defines the Chashmonaim as whom? As kohanim gedolim, or descendants thereof. And then, hemidu melech min, what's the next word? Ha-kohanim. No, the Rambam is not going to say chashmonoim. The Rambam wants you to know that these chashmonoim were kohanim. And this is the reason why Chazra Malchus li Yisrael. And we established Hanukkah as a holiday. The Rambam here is arguing against the Rishon who came right after the Rambam. I don't know, I think he may have overlapped with the Rambam when he was a boy of 10 until the Rambam died. Who am I referring to?
Ramban?
The Ramban, exactly. The Ramban says that the fact that the Gemara says that all the Chashmonaim were killed out. And the Ramban says, you know why? I'll tell you why they were all killed out. Why? Because they usurped the Malchus. The Torah says, Vayechi, Parshas Vayechi, Yaakov says, Lo Yasur Shevet Umachokik Yisrael, that all the Machokikim, all the Malachim would come from, who remembers? Shevet Yehuda, not from the Kohanim. The Kohanim came from Shevet Levi. And therefore the Chashmonaim, who came from a different Shevet, they had no right, there was no justification for them to usurp the Malchus. And I would tell you the Rambam disagrees with the Ramban 1,000%. Because the Rambam says, you know why we have the holiday of Hanukkah? Because the Chashmonaim, who are Kohen and became the Malachim, they became the kings of Israel. That's something that from the Ramban's perspective is a position that's intolerable. Because from the Ramban's perspective, the fact that they established the Malchus and appointed themselves, self-appointed Malachim, was a matter of usurping Shevet Yehuda's position as the Mechokekim, Ayin Ramban, Sof Parshas Vayechi. And therefore, it's impossible to assume on the one hand that the Nes of Chanukah... No, scratch that. It's impossible to assume that the Yontif of Chanukah was established because of the Kohanim taking over the Malchus, and at the same time maintaining the Ramban's position that this was a terrible affair that led to the total annihilation of the Chashmonaim, because they had no right to take over the Malchus. Then you're going to turn around and tell me we established a holiday because they took over the Malchus? Is the Teretz is the Rambam never accepted the Ramban's position. And why not? That's for my 11:30 shiur, 11:45 shiur, but I'll give you the gist of it, because I appreciate that you come to the 8:30 shiur. There are two dinim in Malchus. There's one din in Malchus Ludoros, which is something that's given over by Yerusha, that goes from father to son. And then there's another din of Malchus, which is called Mishpat, meaning to control the country, to make sure that everything is done well, to fight the battles of Israel, and to establish a system of justice, to make sure there's no anarchy in the country. The Chashmonaim never meant to usurp the Malchus in the sense of Malchus Ledoros, that we are the Malachim, and from now on all the Malachi Yisrael will come through our Shevet. No, Chas v'Shalom, that wasn't the intention of the Chashmonaim. There were other sins that they were guilty of, but not this sin. They only took over the Mishpat Hamalucha. By the way, if anyone's interested, because since I mentioned Yom HaTzmud, I'm riding a wave over here. Rav Kook, the first chief rabbi of Palestine, in his tshuvas, was perplexed about the halachic status of the state of Israel. Again, it was before the state was established, but the whole Zionist movement, the religious Zionist movement, to establish an independent, politically free state of Israel, which was the goal, l'chorin halacha has no source or has no status. What's the status of the state of Israel in halacha? So I can tell you this, the Brisker Rav, my Rebbe's uncle, thought that the state of Israel has absolutely no status in halacha. There's no significance whatsoever to the state of Israel. Even Dina the Malchusa Dina doesn't apply to the state of Israel, because the Ran Shita is that in Eretz Yisrael there's no such thing as Dina the Malchusa Dina. So for the Brisker Rav, wasn't against the state of Israel. To him it was parva. It just didn't show up on his radar screen. Because to him, if it didn't have any halachic significance, then it was just parva. It was meaningless. Rav Kook writes that there are two dinim in Malucha, that the halacha recognizes two dimensions of Malchus. One dimension of Malchus is given over to a melech for Yisrael with all the conditions. He has to be appointed by Sanhedrin, and you might need an Urim V'Tumim, and you might need a Navi, and he's got to be from Malchus, he's got to be a descendant of Shevet Yehuda, and all the different conditions that apply to Malchus. The state of Israel doesn't fill any of those conditions. But there's another din in Malchus, says Rav Kook, and that's called Mishpatei Amalucha, which means to see to it that the Jewish people are serviced by some agency, some body of political significance that has authority to make sure everything is running well and according to, you know, not anarchy, but according to law, and that itself gives the state of Israel halachic significance. If you want to hear more about this, that's hours and hours of discussion. What is the halachic status, if there is, of the state of Israel? Okay, Rabbi Olson, we'll stop here. And if it's Shem tomorrow, we'll continue. And it should be. Everyone should have a great day. Wow. Okay.